Good afternoon. I'm happy to stand before you and glad to see everyone who can make it back this afternoon. As every time that I stand before you, I hope that what I present is clear and edifying. I'm hoping it's something that we can use daily in our lives to help us walk closer with God. The story that we're going to read about this afternoon that's recorded for us in the scriptures, I like to think of it as a cautionary tale, as many of these interactions are between Jesus and the Pharisees and the Jews. A lot of time there's stuff that Jesus will put forth that we use that teaches us how to live. Other times he puts forth stuff which is cautionary. It's things that we shouldn't do. It's warnings for how we shouldn't act. And I think there's a lot of points through these verses that are cautionary. There are things that we shouldn't do and we shouldn't forget to do in our daily walk as we're trying to serve God. And the verses we're going to take a look at this afternoon come from John chapter 8, beginning verse 12. It is a lengthy reading. I would like to read through it in its entirety before we begin. And then I'll try to stick to my notes as closely as I can, not wander too far, so that we can get through this densely packed set of scripture. So if you would turn over John chapter 8, beginning verse 12, reading through the end of the chapter. There it begins, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I came from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, Will he kill himself? Because he says, Where I go, you cannot come. And he said to them, You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Then they said to him, Who are you? And Jesus said to them, Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They do not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me, the Father who has left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. They answered him, We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say, you will be made free? Jesus answered them, Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. They said to him, We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself who has sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of God. Then the Jews answered and said to him, Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, Now we know you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, If anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets who are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say, I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So, like I said, we'll go through this and see what we can pull out of it that we can use in our lives. So, starting at the beginning, what did Jesus, and we'll be following the questions that are in our reference text. What did Jesus say in reference to those who follow him? Well, he said that they shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That leads me to question, what is the light of life? Well, for the Israelites in the wilderness, it was the pillar of fire that they followed. By following the pillar of light, they were following God. Jesus was prophesied to be that light that we would follow under the new covenant. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2 reads, The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. It also leads me to question, what is walking in darkness? Well, walking in darkness is walking without knowledge or without understanding. In Psalms chapter 82 verse 5, They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. Walking in darkness is also actively forsaking the path of righteousness whenever we actively go against God's will. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 13, who forsake the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness? Walking in darkness is also walking without a purpose or direction whenever we don't know why we're following God's will. In John chapter 12, verse 35, so Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. So Jesus' explanation here in the following verses, Jesus gives explanation that his testimony of himself is true. Jesus' first explanation of his testimony was that he knew from where he came and to where he would go. The Pharisees, and in fact no man, knows his beginning or his end, as this is reserved only for God to know. The Pharisees also could not know the same for any other man, yet Jesus, being part of the Godhead, did know this information, so he was able to give testimony of himself. His next explanation was that man and the Pharisees judge after the flesh. They can only judge what they see with their eyes. We know that judging by the eye is a poor way to judge the spiritual heart and spiritual matters. Only God can judge on spiritual matters. Ultimately, we know that at the ends of time, God will be the one that judges the secrets of men's hearts. Next, Jesus states that he does not only judge alone, but with God the Father, Jesus compares his judgment, which, when made against the sinner, is a just judgment, to that of the Pharisees. Their judgment is carnal in nature, it's physical in nature, and therefore it is unjust. Jesus' judgment is without bias, while the Pharisees judge according to their own desires. Next, Jesus states that, in fact, he is not bearing witness alone, but with the Father. Jesus knew the law. He knew that by two witnesses, a claim could be made in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. God had given witness to the deity of Jesus many times. He gave it to the prophets. He gave it to John the Baptist. He gave witness during the Transfiguration as well, whenever God states that Jesus was his son. That, in addition to Jesus' ability to claim his own testimony, is the testimony of two. However, if the Pharisees were to accept the testimony of two men as valid, how much more should they have accepted the testimony of two divine? It is clear that they did not care to follow the law when it did not align with their own desires. Unfortunately, the Pharisees could not see that Jesus spoke of his heavenly father instead of his physical father whenever they questioned, "Where is your father?" They again wanted to hear, they wanted the father to bear witness of Jesus' claim. So Jesus answered very bluntly to the Pharisees and to the Jewish people that they knew neither Jesus nor the Father. It is not possible to believe in only one or the other because the Father gave witness of the Son. Next, Jesus explains how to go about to avoid dying in sin. Jesus continued to speak to, in the treasury for some time at this point, and as he departed, he left them with the words, "You shall seek me and die in your sin." Jesus knew the hearts of all. Yes, some of them would truly follow after him and accept his call, but many others were still following about him carnally, following his physical blessings while he stood about them. Just as when he had fed the thousands, many came back just for the food, just for the carnal, for the physical blessings. These people still didn't get it. They thought that Jesus was teaching that if they followed him on this world, that he would provide worldly gifts and treasures. They failed to realize that Jesus wanted his followers to follow him spiritually, and that he would give them spiritual blessings. So these people would follow him carnally, yet die unforgiven. The Jews pondered over where Jesus might go that they could not follow. Physically, they could follow him anywhere. They had been following him for some time, and they figured that wherever he went, they could follow no matter what. So they assumed that it must be of spiritual matter that they could not follow him too. Assuming that Jesus would kill himself was the only explanation that they could think of as to this matter. Assuming that Jesus would kill himself was the only explanation that they could think of. If Jesus did kill himself, he would die in sin, committing a sin. So the Jews concluded that if this was the reason that they could not follow him, because they were living righteously and he would die in sin, that would be the separation between them. However, it was not the sin that Jesus would commit that was going to separate them. It was the sin that the people committed that separated them from Jesus' righteousness. Fortunately, Jesus gave them the solution to not die in sin. They would have to believe that Jesus is the Son sent from God to be saved from their sin. Next, when should the Jews have known that Jesus said he was who he was? The Jews counter Jesus' claim for them to believe in him by demanding that he confess himself to them. But Jesus had been doing this all along. He'd been confessing himself and teaching them that he was the Messiah from the beginning. They could not see through their hardened heart that he was the way and the light. His statement in verse 26 is him declaring that even if they turn the blind eye to him, that the Father is still true. The judgment that would come upon these people would be fair and just, even if it be severe. So, if they still don't believe that Jesus is who he said he was, when will they? When will they believe him as the Messiah? It will be whenever Jesus had been lifted up in the crucifixion. It would be at that point that they would see the error in their ways, and they would come to realize that Jesus was indeed Messiah. Maybe the most important part of this realization for the Jewish people who came to the realization is that Jesus never did anything on his own accord. He was always acting as God the Father, guided and directed, and Jesus did all to glorify in God's name. It would be this realization for the Jewish people and the recognition of the sins in their lives that would leave many of the Jewish people to be saved at the day of Pentecost and the time after. Fortunately for these people, some of them didn't have to wait that long. Some people did turn and believe on Jesus and were saved that day. So who was the father of the Jews? The next verses concern those who believed Jesus' words rather than believed in him as the prior. This is a little confusing because those who believed in him gave him true faith. Whenever they believed in Jesus, they surrendered to his teachings and they gave him their whole heart. On the other hand, those who merely believed him were still far from surrendering their hearts to him. These people believed his word is true, but did not reach the level of faith as others did. These people did not turn their hearts to Jesus. And it was these people that still needed to abide in his word to become his disciples. Now Jesus gives them a troubling statement. If they abide in his word, they will know the truth and they would be set free. But what would they be set free from? The Jews state that they are the seed of Abraham and they have never known bondage. Sure, it's true that physically, at this time, the Jews were not in bondage, but as a people, they had been in bondage. This is evidence that they are still thinking of their carnal and physical body at this time. So how could they be set free if they were not in bondage? Again, Jesus speaks of spiritual matters. While the Jews consider the carnal, you can be physically free, but as Jesus states, if you commit a sin, you are a servant of sin. Jesus had already given them the solution to this. If the Jews were to follow and abide with Jesus, they would be set free from sin. Jesus then corrects their thoughts on how they saw themselves as the sons of Abraham. The Jews believed that since they were sons, they would always have a seat. They would always have a seat in the house of God. But since they were actually bondservants, the servants of sin, and not true sons, they could be displaced from the house at any time. But the Son could make them free, can give them freedom. Jesus, as the Son, is the one who has the power to make one free. So physically, yes, they were the children of Abraham. They were Abraham's seed. Jesus said so as much. But spiritually, they were not the sons of Abraham. They were far from him. Why were they not the children of Abraham? Well, because Abraham was called the friend of God. In James chapter 2 and verse 23, if they were truly the children of Abraham, they would have not set out to kill the Son of God. Abraham would not have set out to kill his friend if he was the friend of God, as scriptures tell us. So the children of Abraham should not have either. If they were the children of Abraham inwardly, spiritually, they would have accepted the words of Jesus instead of allowing his words to provoke them to violence. So Jesus begins to differentiate between God's household and the household that the Jews were a part of in verse 38. He tells that they are not of the same family. There is a difference between his father and the father of the Jews. One is divine, one is not. The following verses will show the differences between these two households. Jesus lets the Jews' actions speak for themselves. They again claim that Abraham as their father, asserting the physical lineage they have to him. But Jesus restates that to be the child of Abraham is more than just blood lineage. It is the following spiritual works as displayed by Abraham. It is following the spiritual works as given as example by Abraham. Abraham would not have set out to kill Jesus. Yet this is what the Jews want to do. Abraham would have believed on Jesus and followed his word and teachings. Jesus says that they do the works of their father, further displaying the separation between him and them. He makes a difference between his father, God, and their father. The Jews claim that they were not born of fornication, perceiving that Jesus attacked their claim of spiritual lineage at this point. Their claim is that they were born into the spiritual righteousness that came with being a child of God. Yes, the Jews were God's chosen people. If they were not born into this people, they would not have been of God. This relates to how the Gentiles were seen at this time. This relates to how the Gentiles were seen by the Jewish people at this time. Because the Gentiles were not born into the physical lineage, they were not God's chosen people at this time. But because the Jews were born into that lineage, they claim that their father is God. But Jesus refutes that claim again. He tells them that if God was indeed their father, that they would have loved Jesus and not set out to kill him. God sent Jesus. The prophets foretold that Jesus would come. If the Jews and Pharisees were true to God, they would have been the first to accept Jesus as the Messiah. Yet their actions spoke louder than the words. We must remember that our actions speak louder than our words as well. We must show the world by our actions that God is our Father and Jesus our Savior. Jesus then asked them why they do not understand him, neither his outward words nor the inward meanings. Their thoughts were so filled with evil, it clouded their judgment of righteousness. So, who are the Jews following after then? If it's not their father Abraham, then who does Jesus say they are following, and who is their father? Jesus says that they are following after the devil, and as such, he is their father. They are doing the devil's wills and wishes. The devil was a murderer from the beginning. Because through the devil, sin was brought into the world. Sin was brought into the world, and by sin, death brought upon mankind. The devil also stands not in truth, but in lies. The devil has hardened the effect of the truth on the Jews. And because their heart is hardened against the truth, they are indeed liars. And because the devil is their father, and because the devil is the father of lies, he is the father of these people spiritually. Jesus' words of truth would not be believed by the Jews because their hearts were hardened against the truth. Ultimately, the people could not find sin in Jesus because there was no sin. And if he had no sin, then his words must be true. But still, they would not believe him because the people were not of God. They would not receive the words of God. So, why did the Jews say that Jesus had a demon? The Jews, no doubt upset by the accusations of Jesus that they were neither of God nor Abraham, accused Jesus of being a Samaritan. A Samaritan being the lowest people considered by the Jews around this region. Or one of the lowest. Jesus, indeed, he did spend time in Samaria. It's true that he did pass through Samaria before this. These facts were enough, as it seemed, for the people to use this as accusation that he was Samaritan. In their eyes, he was swayed by the devil, and therefore he had a demon. Interestingly, Jesus didn't defend himself of being a Samaritan, but instead refuted that he had a demon. Jesus states that he is honoring his father and that they are dishonoring him, and in turn, dishonoring God. These accusations they throw at Jesus are physical accusations of the carnal body. And he chooses to accept abuse and therefore is not seeking his own glory, but allows God to be the judge. He tells the people that only God can seek and judge the people. Jesus' next statement to the Jewish people is perplexing to them. He states that anyone who keeps his will not die. How is this possible? The Jewish people, again, thinking of the carnal body, respond how anyone only thinking of the carnal would. All men are to die. We know this. And the only solution to the statement that the Jews can think of is to state that Jesus must be demon-possessed. Again, reaffirming their previous claim. That, to them, is the only reason why a man would make this claim. It is the claim of a person speaking out of their mind. A person who is demon-possessed without clear thought would be the only type of man who could make the claim that man would not die. So the reasoning behind this is as follows. Abraham died. The prophets all died. They all followed and kept God's word. How can anyone avoid death by keeping the words of Jesus if these men still died even though they kept the word of the true God? The Jews are hoping at this point to catch Jesus in a trap. They want Jesus to disclaim his claim to equal power with God. They believe that no one in their right mind would keep the claim of equal power with God when it came to the power over death. Jesus' answer will again, as we see, bring glory to God while trying to bring the Jewish people into subjection. He prefaces his thoughts by stating that, again, he does all things not to bring glory to himself, but to bring glory to God. By stating this to the Jews, he is reaffirming that it is in their best interest that they listen to Jesus. If indeed they want to follow the same God, if they indeed follow the true God. Verse 55 is the climax of these verses. Jesus makes it very clear that his Father and their God are the same, When he says to follow his Father, he is talking of God. And when he does his Father's will, it is God's will. Jesus knows God, because he is his Son. Jesus knows God on a personal level, where the Jews could not. And if the Jews claim to follow God, the true God, and do his will, they should follow the words of Jesus. Jesus is the closest to God that any of these people could hope to see. Yet they are too stubborn to accept him as God's son. So what is Jesus' relation to Abraham? When Jesus states that Abraham rejoiced to see the day of Jesus, he is referring to seeing Jesus by faith. Abraham was able to see that through his seed that a Savior would be brought. He didn't see Jesus physically at that time, but through the prophecies. The Jews have to state the carnally obvious again. Jesus is not even 50 years old. How could he have seen Jesus? Obviously, it wasn't the physical. It was the spiritual. Jesus, at this point, delivers to them the most powerful statement they could take. Before Abraham was born, I am. This phrase, we've studied about this many times here. This phrase, I am, denotes an eternal existence. The Jewish people were also familiar with this phrase. And Jesus uses it to push them past their limit. They can't stand it anymore at this point. So the Jews' response. The Jewish people have heard enough. They pick up stones to throw at Jesus. In their mind, he was a blasphemer. And the Jewish law called for a blasphemer to be stoned. In turn, Jesus turned to hide. His time to die was not yet. Jesus still had work to do. And the Jews were not going to derail it. That concludes my thoughts this evening. Like I said, it's a dense chunk of scripture. There's a lot to unpack there. We don't have enough time in one afternoon to go through it and unpack it, but I hope what I brought forth cautions you as you walk through this life to live spiritually for God, to let your actions speak louder than your words, to serve God through your actions, to not let your heart become hardened through sin, through the devil's wills and desires, and to live daily for God. We never want to close without offering the invitation. I don't know the hearts and minds of everyone here. We know that if you have not obeyed God, if you haven't become a Christian, he has given us a pathway to that, to hear the word and believe it. Repent of your sins and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized to wash away your sins. And if you've fallen away at this time, if you've done wrong in the sight of God and feel that it requires a public confession, you can come forward at this time and repent and confess to those and have prayer on your behalf. If one is in either category, we ask that you come forward as we stand and as we sing Song of Invitation.